America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Hi, I'm Angela Peabody of Global Woman Peace Foundation, and I listen to America's Meditating Radio Show.
Do you want to power up your day? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Can't manage the speed? Time to get off the grid and get into the heart. A groundbreaking meditation CD for people on the move.
And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart.
Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
My neighbor?
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship, hoping we would too. Friendship, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Welcome, everyone, to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in Tysons. I had a wonderful family visit me the other day, and they took pictures with their new addition, Sai, who is only a month and a half old. And the backdrop of the space, I was saying to myself, wow, this place really came out really good, so I was very excited about that. I hope today's show finds you in a good place and opened to your process of transformation and shifts and accumulation. A lady asked me last week, tell me what the meaning of enlightenment or spirituality. And I told her, well, you know where I am right now? It's just accumulation. I'm not necessarily trying to figure anything out. I think the more love I can share, the more kindness I can share, the more understanding, compassion, mercy, I can convey in my life, then I'm accumulating. And I trust that one day it'll become automatic, that I'm not even going to be thinking that I'm actually sharing love or compassion or empathy. Stay tuned. We're going to have a beautiful, wonderful friend on the air, Dr. Andrea Pennington, who's calling us all the way from France today. And we're going to be engaging in a conversation about well-being, health of mind, and just how to be a better person. So stay tuned for that. But before I get Andrea on, why don't we go to our favorite sister, Gita, who always takes us into a place of wonder with her wonderful poetry and readings. Sister Gita?
A beautiful day to you, beautiful souls. Extracted from the book Companion of God by one of the world's wisdom keeper, Daddy Janki of the Brahma Kumaris and Daddy Janki Foundation. Child of God, do you know yourself as a child of God? Or are you so overwhelmed by the circumstances of life that you feel you have no time to be with God? There are too many things I have to do, you say. This is a perfect example of attachment to the features of your life, not to mention your own ego as well. As an actor on the stage of life, you need to detach yourself from the roles you are playing and get in touch with the part of you that is not an act. The one experience of being which is not a role, not an act, is being the child of God. I am. I have always been, and I will always be God's child. Never doubt this. There is such strength in this experience that you will easily rise above adversity. Sorrow will finish, and your heart will dance. Belonging to God fills you with the innocence of a child or a baby puppy. The innocence of a child and the wisdom of God. Children of God, have a pensive day. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let
let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time,
welcome back, everyone. That was the Letting Go meditation from my Off the Grid Into the Heart CD, and hope you enjoyed Sister Geeta's reading that really took us into another place. Yes, you are listening to American Meditating Radio, and today we are proud to welcome Dr. Andrea Pennington. She's recognized as a global transformational leader and a respected integrative medicine physician, acupuncturist, meditation teacher, speaker, and author, who is a passionate advocate for optimal living and, of course, self-love. She's a sought-after TV personality who has served as medical director and spokesperson for the Discovery Health Channel and has been featured as a medical expert on many national media outlets, including The Oprah Winfrey Show, Dr. Oz, CNN, and much more. But additionally, she has contributed to many print online magazines as well, Essence, Newsweek, and we also had the fortune of having her at the Meditation Museum. And today we welcome our wonderful, beautiful, lovely-hearted sister, Andrea Pennington. Welcome to the air, my dear.
Welcome. Om Shanti and blessing to you, Sister Jenna and Sister Geeta. It's wonderful to connect again.
Same here, and Om Shanti to you. We're so thrilled that we got the chance to have you on the air, and I would love for us to just engage in a conversation as to how we can love ourselves more. And we had a chance to talk a little bit at the museum about our journey and how parallel they were. And I thought that was very, very, very powerful. But I'd like for you to share with our listeners a little bit about what inspired you to get into the field of medicine and what's also been inspiring you to make it a more holistic journey for many, including yourself.
Since my childhood, I've always been intrigued and interested by how things work all the way down to a molecular or atomic level. My mother is also a physician, and she was an acupuncturist as well. So I grew up watching her as a fierce female physician in a very male-dominated profession in America. And I just thought it was a beautiful way to help. and to be a part of people's lives. It wasn't my first choice, though. I always thought I would pursue a career and a degree in the performing arts because acting and singing and performing was my first love. But somehow I felt like being a physician was going to be somehow more meaningful. And so I decided to go to medical school. The holistic piece really came in my fourth year of medical school. My mother at the time was seeing women who were pregnant or in their just postpartum period. And these women were addicted to crack cocaine. This was in the early 90s. And she was finding that they could be detoxed with just acupuncture as outpatients, meaning not in a hospital. And I remember having a conversation with her saying, that's not possible. You know,
yeah.
It's just not possible. I've seen these people, you know, being in the hospital wards. When you're detoxing off of cocaine, it's not pretty. And you'd want to be supported. And she said, nope, we put in these tiny little needles and these women are, they're getting free from their cravings and their drug dreams. They're getting clean. They're suddenly asking the court to get their children back. And when I visited her and had an acupuncture treatment with these little tiny ear needles, I had this rush of energy, this flow of chi and emotion and tears streaming down my face. And I thought, well, what the heck? I mean, I'm not addicted to drugs. There's nothing in the needles. How is this happening? I went back to my very research-oriented medical school, and I convinced the dean to let me go and study with Dr. Michael Smith in the Bronx, New York. And I took the same course that my mother took, but I took it over a six-week period and put in over 100 treatments myself and watched people who had been addicted to serious substances detox before my very eyes. And I knew then that there was more to this mind and body than what they were teaching me in medical school, and I had to investigate more.
Okay, you've got me mighty intrigued because I just get the squeegees when I see needles. But how can those little needles being pressed into your skin change something that perhaps you're even going through emotionally? Because you weren't on crack cocaine, the ladies were. So, of course, the chemicals are flowing in their system, the blood is craving, wanting to be fulfilled in terms of whatever other chemicals involved with that. But what is it about acupuncture that actually somehow gains access at an emotional or soul level?
Isn't it beautiful? You know, the Chinese have known this for thousands of years, and we Western scientists can now say that when you put these little needles in just under the skin, they are actually activating a neurological response. So we can say that there's, you know, nerve conduction that happens. There's changes along the spinal cord and in the brain that cause a release of the happy chemicals, the endorphins, you know, that we hear about, serotonin and dopamine, that make us feel good and feel calmer. But what's interesting is when you study Chinese medicine and acupuncture, you understand that there are certain points that, of course, correspond to the liver or the kidneys or the heart, but there are spots on the body that correspond to the spirit gate that open up our awareness of our deeper self. And these needles are accessing those points. So no matter your belief system or even if you don't believe, there are changes that are happening. And I just think it's phenomenal that now we have many more studies that are showing that this ancient treatment modality is useful not just for pain but for psychological conditions as well.
How powerful it would be to have a treatment that can encourage souls to access a deep experience of God, right?
Well, that's exactly what we noticed. Now, it started with my mother. She noticed that because these women who were getting off of crack cocaine, they became calmer, she decided to put the little needles in her other patients with depression or anxiety and let them sit for 30 minutes before a counseling session. And what she noticed is they too were able to feel calmer, more detached from the ego and judgmental self. They were able to contact, a deeper awareness. And so several years later, when I entered practice right there down the street from you in Silver Spring, I started showing people that they could meditate while in that state. And my patients were telling me they saw colors, they saw visions, they heard a still, quiet voice. Was it the higher self? Was it God? Was it angels? I don't know. But what my patients told me was they were touching a deeper, soulful, spiritual side. And it helped to transform them. So I think it is wonderful that we can give people access, just like we do with meditation and Qigong and yoga. We can give people different access points to get to that quiet part of ourselves.
You know, there is something so powerful about human consciousness, and perhaps we're just not accessing it as much as we can, because it does have the power to just transcend the world around us that we've gotten so addicted to, you know, just even our own smartphones. Imagine to be able to communicate with each other without texting each other. That's what I'm looking at, you know. And I'd love for us to talk a little bit about an experience that you had that was extremely transformative as well. I know many folks call it NDE. It was like a near-death experience. And you've said that you realized that you were living a life that wasn't completely true for you. And I get that. You know, you get to a point where you're so externally driven, you're wanting to do your life the way the world is telling you to do it or the way that your parents told you to do it. But there's something within the soul that's calling you to something more that's, I believe, connected to our virtues and our qualities. And if we listen quietly and long enough, we will start to feel ourselves really authentically moving according to that. Tell our listeners a little bit about this near-death experience and what did it do for you emotionally, spiritually, and what were some of the physical results of it as well?
I do believe, as you've just said, that the soul will speak to us. And while it can be still and quiet, in my case, it started to get louder and louder. You know, as I shared with you before, while working for Discovery Channel right there in Silver Spring, and I had just been on the Oprah show a couple of times and published my first book, I had created a television persona, Dr. Andrea, and they wanted me to seem like I was mature and older and you know, this credible doctor. And so we created a persona that was very uptight and very prudish and very, you know, straight-laced. And that was fine for me as a performer for a while. It was a character. But then I started getting recognized, and you know how that works. After you've been on TV long enough, people start pointing you out and in the line at the grocery store and places. And I realized, God, they're identifying me as that person, and that's not fully who I am.
Right.
And that's when it started to feel more inauthentic, because the more I stepped into my own groove and felt confident, I started sharing, you know, deeper messages on these stages around the world. And I was telling people, you know, many of my patients come to me depressed and anxious, and they don't have any physical thing wrong with them. It's because they're not living their truth. They're not following their soul. And when your soul has a calling, it'll catch up with you. And in my case, the anxiety and the depression led me on many spiritual adventures, visiting with shamans. And I told you I spent time with Deepak Chopra at his place in California. But it was in the south of France, here in Cannes, near the beach, where I had this out-of-body experience. I had been in Europe for a couple of weeks. I had been recognized not as Dr. Andrea, but as Drea, the artist. And it wasn't that I was trying. I wasn't even very fashionable in those days. But people were putting me on stage. I told someone I was a singer, and I'm suddenly in the DJ booth at this rocking nightclub in Saint-Tropez singing. And I got back to my hotel thinking, what the? Now, here I said I wanted to be an artist and step away from America, and people are treating me that way. And I said, well, God, I don't know what I'm doing. When I go home, I have to get back in that box, that prison, and I don't want that. And I just cried my eyes out, and I was just sobbing and shaking. And suddenly on the bed in this tiny hotel in Cannes, I felt my body just sort of melt into the bed. And then I saw this light behind my closed eyes, and I thought, wait a minute, now the sun can't get any brighter than it is down here on the beach. What? But it wasn't the sun. It was a light from within that that I have heard people talk about in near-death experiences. And I melted into that light. I became one with that light. As I surrendered, thinking God was answering my prayer and kind of taking me out of my boring life, I became one with what I consider all that is. And that oneness experience, melting into the light, melting into eventually into darkness and asking the question, wait a minute, if I'm still thinking, but I'm now merged with light and oneness, who am I? And I heard this voice, I am that I am. I am whoever I say I am. And this complete life review, and I saw that every step of my life, when I said I was going to go to med school or go to this and do that, I manifested it. The trick was, I could see then that even though I made those choices, I was making those choices based on other people's desires and directions, not my soul. And it was in that moment that I realized that we all come to this earth as this perfect soul wrapped up in a little body, and we have the power to choose. We can choose who we will be in this life. We can choose how we will express our divine light. And that's when I said yes to life and suddenly saw a vision of my life unfolding, living in the south of France, singing, healing with my hands, and with a child, which at the time was kind of a revelation because I was single and I was thinking I wasn't going to have children. And it changed my life because I knew that I could no longer ignore that voice of my soul that was telling me I needed to live a different sort of life. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, I haven't.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You had an out-of-body experience, and let's just say that souls don't have an out-of-body experience, but every day their thoughts are telling them, you're not being true, you're not being true. And you're talking a lot about self-love, and we're looking at how we can liberate ourselves from old patterns and step into a part of ourselves that's really got the soul print, you know, that real energy of the self, as you mentioned in your TED Talk. Tell our listeners a little bit about what is really self-love, right? And how can we go about liberating and loving ourselves authentically if we haven't had a near-body experience?
Well, I think that any way you can find to quiet your mind and go within, you know, in that TEDx talk, I talk about the process of inquiry, going within and questioning your thoughts, questioning your mind, questioning your upbringing, questioning your beliefs to get down to that kernel of truth. Who am I? And it's printed on the wall at the Meditation Museum, and you gave me this lovely t-shirt that says, who am I? And when you start to ask that question, in helping other people reach that place without having an out-of-body experience, it's been those moments where someone could question their mind and question their beliefs and question the doubts that have plagued them. And what they find is when they're just willing to open that door a little bit and to consider that maybe you are a perfect divine soul, doesn't mean you have lived a perfect life, doesn't mean you will always be making perfect choices, but at your core, your true nature is this divine, precious light. Then you can start to say, wow, I love me. Mm-hmm. I love that I have these little quirks and I've got a goofy personality. And I love that I can look through this life sometimes with sadness and sometimes with anticipation, but it's mine. And it's not, I can say that, you know, it's not easy. It was not easy for me to overcome 30 plus years of feeling like I wasn't good enough and I had to prove myself. But the more I bathed in it through meditation, the more I was able to realize it is true.
Yeah. You know, Andrea, I so get what you just shared because I don't know if I'd ever mentioned to you when you were at the museum in my first 5 years of my own spiritual awakening, you couldn't tell me I wasn't perfect. I mean, I walked it, I talked it. I walked it, I talked it, I looked it, I said it, and then there were just, you know, just armies of people behind me, and I could see how that all played out. And I remembered sitting in my meditation room, which we call our Baba's room, And I sat there in front of Baba and I said, Baba, I'm not what people are saying, because I started to just project what looked like was working for people to really go, oh my God, she's like God incarnate. And I remembered Andrea, it was at that moment I felt so perfect, because I was so honest with who I was when I told God, I am not what they think I am. I'm not that. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was just okay with being very imperfect in my spirituality, knowing that it was a journey and that we were all going to travel together. And I remembered how liberating that was, but how powerful it was for me to be true to me. And it gave me a lot of vitality and, of course, power. And I think that honesty is one of the greatest virtues to unlock your potential. And I know that in your work and a lot of the work that you teach others, you talk about getting over your humps and unlocking your potential. Do you have a few tips that you could offer our listeners about how they can unlock their own capacity and potential, because it's in every one of us? For me, it was honesty. For you, it was a very deep experience, but it was calling you and you responded to that. But let's say that someone didn't have a near-death experience. Let's say, you know, no one studied, but inside of you, you're just reeking to be yourself. You're reeking to get to your potential. Tips that could help our listeners today.
Yeah, I always start with these same three steps. It's learn who you are, love who you are, and live who you are. So the first step of learning who you are, you shared this in the beginning, that we are all souls, but we have certain values or virtues that we're here to express. For you, it's honesty. For me, one of my leading values is courage. You know, it takes courage to cut off a big media career and move to the south of France with a little kid, and I did that. So I encourage people to take what is called the Values in Action Survey. It's the VIA. And if you go to authentichappiness.org, you can take the VIA for free. And it has been validated across cultures around the world over the last 20 years. And what Dr. Martin Seligman and Chris Peterson and all these wonderful positive psychology gurus have found is that there are certain values or signature strengths that we naturally embody. We just came to the earth with them. And sometimes they can get developed over time or change over time. But by taking the VIA, that's sort of the first step for someone to just say, wow, they can see in black and white a list of their top five signature strengths, the values that drive them the most. And when you can see that reflected back, it's a little easier for you to say, yep, that's me. Oh, yep. Yep, that's how I react in certain situations. And that first awareness is what leads to the next step, and that's acceptance. And just take note, when have you lived those values? You lived your honesty in that quiet Baba room where you shared with God your truth. Well, I ask people to look throughout their life, when have you expressed these values just most naturally? Because what positive psychology tells us is that when we take our values and our strengths, and we apply them in our work, in our play, and in our relationships, we can show up as the authentic me. I can show up in a state of flow where life just works. So that's the first step, because once you can see it in action and see it in black and white, it becomes more true and easier to accept. And once you can accept it and love it and find what's lovable in you, then I say, go out there and express it. That's the third step. Just live it to the fullest. And it takes courage, yes. So sometimes I tell people, well, you know, go out there and tell yourself, okay, I'm going to do this because Dr. Andrea said I must. Until it becomes a natural thing for you, where you are empowered to unlock your own potential, to be authentic, to share yourself authentically, and then to live, as I say, orgasmically, where you're living full out with your full senses and not worried about what others are going to think of you.
Beautiful, because we do live a lot based on the vision of other people, and I've found that your life just gets put on pause. You are just on pause when you keep trying to do it the way everyone else wants you to do it. I interviewed someone who wrote a book, and she interviewed about 30,000 people who were all dying. And do you know one of the regrets that came out of those 30,000 folks was that I didn't live the life I wanted. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can. Because it's so easy to be programmed into conformity. You know, it's part of, at least in America, it's part of our culture. And it does take courage. But I can say that it's worth it. It's worth breaking out of that mold.
It is worth it. And something that you said that I like, it's my life. It's the way that I think I'm supposed to be unfolding it. And so even if after 5-10 years you're feeling like, why am I in the same place I was 5-10 years ago? It just means I think there's just more to give into the self until we can rise with the self. And I've loved having our conversation today. I could continue to have us talk all day. But as you know, media... All good things must come to an end, my beloved sister. Leave our listeners with Andrea Pennington's favorite life quote and a website, and we'll definitely get you back on the air soon.
I would love that. You can certainly connect with me, AndreaPennington.com. And I would just remind our listeners that you are an infinite being full of divine potential. And in this beautiful life of yours, I encourage you to learn who you really are, love who you are, live who you are by sharing your unique gifts and talents with the world.
Andrea, thank you so very much. I'm going to wish you all the best and hope to see you again real soon.
Thank you so much, sister. It has been a pleasure to be with you.
Same here. All the best. Bye-bye. So live your truth and find the courage. You can find the courage to be the best that you can be. It's entirely up to you. It's in your hands. And we have what it takes. I don't know why it is so amplified in my consciousness. Stop living your life based on what other people are saying. And I guess it's because I have even broken out of my own mold. I mean, I'm in an incredible community of thought thinkers, of elevated yogis, and everyone is so beautiful, you know, one more beautiful than the other, all wearing their beautiful white long saris with long pintail hairs and just beautiful, quiet, introverted, introspective. And then I come in the room with my jacket, smiling, laughing, talking, and it's okay with me because I feel like I'm being truthful. And I'm still in the process of service and helping my humanity. So even if it doesn't look good in terms of the eyes, if you're coming from a genuine place, and if it's not just about you, but it's about you listening to the divine, guiding you in being of a better server, a more authentic server, please, my friends, listen to that. And don't waste your time in thinking and speaking about the lives of other people, whether they're doing it right or wrong. Just learn from everyone, but keep amplifying your consciousness and your vibe to becoming the best that you can be. You've been listening to America Meditating Radio. We have the wonderful Dr. Andrea Pennington. Go visit her at AndreaPennington2ns.com. Tell them that you heard about her on the America Meditating Radio show. And we're going to end today with how we usually end it. No one has the capacity to take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are all here to love each other the same. So let's do that. We'll end today's show with Kristen Hoffman on love and gratitude. Take care, everyone.